crop of female superstars owes a big debt to this week's in-studio guests. They sowed the seeds of the female singer-songwriter resurgence with their debut album back in the late 80s. Back then, Amy Ray and Emily Saliers were an acoustic folk duo. But over the course of the next few albums, the Indigo Girls made the transition to lightly electrified folk rock and to chart-topping superstars, paving the way for more recent artists like Sarah McLachlan and Jewel. In fact, they're so respected by their peers, the other Lilith Fair artists treat them with the kind of reverence usually reserved for royalty. The Indigo Girls dropped by our studios a couple of weeks back, and they brought along a couple of brand new, previously unrecorded songs.
We'll start with new songs.
Yeah.
Two new songs. How very generous of you. Thank
you. We get tired of our old stuff really quickly.
I was going to say, I mean, we're a little more than a year from the release of Shaming of the Sun. So where are you in the cycle of moving forward to the next project? Always writing?
Well, yeah, Amy writes really well on the road. She's pretty prolific on the road. I write better at home, typically, but we're going to make a new record in January. That's the plan, start in January. So right now we're doing the Lilith Fair, and then we're doing, after that, we're going to do a rock club tour called the Suffragette Sessions Tour, which we're really excited about.
Is that a new title for that tour?
Yeah, it is.
Because I had read another title for the tour, but that'll be after. That'll be into the fall.
Coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. On the last record, you know, you did all kinds of new things. Still new things to come in terms of sonically.
After the last record, we were like, well, let's make a folk record next. You know, we're tired of all these sounds. We need to just make a guitar, mandolin, banjo record. You know, that kind of thing, like that Steve Earle type train of coming or whatever. But now, you know, in the process of writing, for me, I've written a few folk songs, and then the rest of my stuff has been like, I'm hearing, you know, that lush Peter Gabriel, Sinead O'Connor, you know, production, and then I've had this reggae idea, and, you know, and I think part of it is who we come across. I mean, like, now we've been hanging out with Sinead O'Connor's band for a week or so, and it's like, you just get musical ideas and inspirations, and if they fit in with what you're writing, it makes you tend to go that way. So I don't know what we're going to do, because I feel pretty loyal to trying to do some really bare-boned music, but I also feel myself being pulled, you know, in this other direction.
If you were to strip everything away, though, you would still be left with the songs that you could perform as an acoustic duo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would it be possible for the two of you to do a whole record that could never be performed live?
Oh, yeah, anybody can do that. That'd be easy. We've always tried to maintain the song. You know, it starts with the song. Amy writes her songs, and I write mine, and we write them on instruments so we can play them back, and so you have a song intact no matter what we do to it in the end.